Well, that's our prayer this morning, that the Lord would bless His Word. And the message, it's not a confession, it's an acknowledgement. The message the Lord had put on my heart to share for today is a little different, probably, than the typical messages that the Lord usually gives me. It's a little bit more topical in nature. But I'd like to speak this morning, by the help of the Lord, about rain from heaven. Renee, do you mind writing that on the board for me? Or on the wall? Rain from heaven. I'd like us to start over in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. All right, beginning with verse 3, book of Leviticus, chapter 26. He said, "If you walk in my statutes..." Now, this was a conditional statement. If you do this, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Now, this was a promise of God to His people in the book of Leviticus, that if you will do what I've told you to do, if you'll be obedient to me and walk in my commandments, then I'm going to give you rain in due season. Now, due season is when it's necessary, right? It doesn't mean it's all the time, but it means when it's necessary for your crops to flourish, for you to have fruit in the tree, for you to be able to go out and harvest the wheat. He said, "I'm going to give you the rain." That was a promise of God. Now, this was Old Testament, and this was a specific promise to the Jews. We're not holding this on God today. This was given to the Jews, again, contextually. He said, "If you'll do what I told you, I will give you rain in due season." Now, in this part of the country, in Palestine, there were two wet seasons. There were two seasons that it rained. And in the Scripture, and we're not going to read them all this morning, but you will read about the former and the latter rains in the Scripture. The former and the latter rains were talking about the beginning of spring and then in later autumn. All right? So the former and the latter was the rains that came in spring and what we might term the fall time at that part of the year. And crops, even today, are dependent upon rain, are they not? When the rain does not come, then you don't get good crops. I know that in our country there's a lot of irrigations. In a lot of the parts of the world that we have been and seen, when the rains don't come, the people suffer because they don't have crops. And so now in some parts of the world, the fifth season of not getting good crops. And when the crops aren't productive, then the people go hungry. But God said in due time. In other words, when there's dryness, when there's a time of drought or there's a time of dryness and your crops need water and you are following my principles, He said, "I'm going to send the rain." In the Scripture, the rain is often a symbol of God's love. It's a symbol of blessing. Say, well, the rain's from heaven. It's a blessing. Many times people say, "Oh, it's raining. We really needed rain." And then the rains came. We thank God for it. Well, where does rain come from? Rain comes from God, doesn't it? Rain is not happenstance. God is the one that placed these things in order. Job, and I will just acknowledge this morning, I have a number of scriptures, more than normal. Normally, I would encourage you to have your Bibles out and turn and read. But for the sake of time this morning, if you want to just sit back and listen, and I will share some of the scriptures with you as we go along, that's all right. But in the fifth chapter of Job, in the eighth verse, Job said, "I would seek God, unto God, and unto God I would commit my cause, which doth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and send waters upon the field." So we acknowledge even today it is God that sends the rain. When things are dry, it's, "Lord, would you send the rain? Lord, we have a need." Now, I am from Oregon originally, and I grew up with knowing what rain was. We had gentle showers of blessing in Oregon. It did not normally open up like it does in this part of the country and just pour, but in Oregon, it's just a nice, beautiful, gentle drizzle, some of the time. We also have bright days, but I remember right after Renee and I got married, actually on our honeymoon, we went to Oregon. And it was kind of dark and cloudy and, you know, a little drizzling. She said, I just don't know if I'd like this. And I said, honey, it's wonderful. You'll get used to it. We never ended up moving there yet. The Lord still has us in the Midwest. But the point is that I grew up with rain. It's wonderful. Rain is, I like the rain. And on those rainy days, some people are saying, I want the sunshine. Like, this is wonderful out here. Well, the rain is from God, just like the sunshine is. It's God that created the weather cycles and patterns. But I'd like us to look at a little bit of history of rain. When God first created the world, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, in the fourth verse, it said, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created. In that day, the Lord God made the earth. God made the heavens. It wasn't happenstance. It was created by a designer, and that was God. And it said, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So when God created the world, it kind of appears like here, He didn't just put seeds in the ground. It was a garden ready to go. Because if you'll notice, it said He every planted the field before it was in the earth and before it grew. So it's possible that He put live, you know, grown trees and plants and vineyards and all those things in His creation, and it didn't rain. The weather cycle or pattern was different then. It was watered, things were watered from a mist that came up from below. Because if you will recall, in the creation, it said God separated the firmament above and the firmament below, and there was water above and water below. If you study that out. Now, so at this time, the scripture says that there wasn't man either. The question lies then, when did it begin to rain? When is the first time that we have record of it raining in the scripture? Noah. All right, so let's then in Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, He told Noah, it says, the scripture says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that have I made will I destroy it. Now, I told you that rain was a blessing, and all of a sudden we're reading about rain causing a flood that destroyed the earth. You know, God can use what He wants when He wants to accomplish His will and His purpose. But in that same chapter in verse 12, I'd like to read a verse here. Verse 12, actually, it says there, the rains were upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the scripture says that He opened up, in verse 11, it says that the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened and the rain was upon the earth. So God did something that was different than the normal during the time of Noah. Okay? He opened up somehow those cisterns of water that were above and below. God opened it up and brought about water that the earth had not known until that time. I'm not interested necessarily in giving a science lesson this morning, and there is a debate theologically. There are differences of opinions, and I don't want to be guilty of adding to or taking away from the Word, okay? What we have record of is when God first created the Garden of Eden, it did not rain. It was watered from below. The first time we read about rain coming down from heaven was during the time of Noah. Now, some feel like that it started raining after the fall of man. The Bible doesn't say. So we don't want to be dogmatic, but there are reasons why it would tend to think that it was a good possibility that it never rained as we know it until the time of Noah. All right? There's a case to be made there. There's a lot of things the Scripture is silent on, and we want to be careful about taking what we think and making a doctrine out of it. If you think it rained after the fall of man, I won't argue with you. we can discuss it. But here we find that the cisterns were opened up, all right? The cisterns were opened up, and without going too far into geology and those types of things, but you children in school, if you looked at your map, an atlas of the world, do you notice how you can take the country? You ought to look at it. It's very phenomenal. You take the, look at the countries. You have the U.S. and Europe and Africa, and if you move those together, guess what? They fit. They fit. The Scripture says that when God created the world, He put it in the middle of the sea, did He not? That is in the Bible. So then you look at a world map and all of those pieces fit together like a puzzle if you just bring it in together, and you can see there's a center of earth and then water was all around it. Somewhere along the line, in the science calls it the theory, because they can't prove it, the theory of the continental drift. But when we look at geology, there is evidence of a cataclysmic event that took place somewhere, right? We have the Grand Canyon. We have all these different things that happen. And they say, the world says, it took millions of years. And yet there are evidences that point. Let me just give you one example. In the stratus of the ground levels, there are places that they say that took millions of years. But what does it do to that theory when they find a fossilized tree that was through all of those different levels? That lets us know that there was a cataclysmic event that brought all those different soils and things, because there was a tree that went through all of those. Well, that would indicate that during the time of the flood, the weather cycles changed. During the flood, you have an earth, and I'm not, again, this is not doctrinal, but there's Scripture to back these things up, and it correlates with science, that there was an earth and that was together, and through the flooding and through the rain, that those things separated out. That's not out of the realm of possibility. There's a lot more possibility that that's what happened than what the world postulates. Well, there's a little history of rain there. Maybe you knew all of those things, and maybe it just gives you a little thought. And you may say, how does this affect me spiritually? Well, even when it rains, do you know what God put in the sky? He put a rainbow. Do you know the world has tried to steal the rainbow? They've tried to steal. Now you almost kind of think twice before getting a cup with a rainbow on it, don't you? Or getting a mug or a shirt or something. You're kind of like, well, what are we advertising here? But do you know that we don't want the world to steal what a rainbow represents? It was God's promise to man that I will not destroy the earth again by water. I will not flood. I will not destroy mankind by water. And I will place the rainbow in the sky. Now, there are some that, again, think that it rained after the fall, okay, before the time of Noah. That's okay. But if it rained, most likely there was a rainbow. They say, well, the rainbow would have been there. But, you know, I believe that rainbow was something God gave. I gave you this as a covenant. He wasn't looking for something that was already there and said, oh, honey, I'm going to give you that phone for our anniversary coming up. She'd like a new one. But do you know that whatever it is, it's not something that was in existence. God placed a rainbow in the sky, and so it would follow logic that was when the mist was in there and there was that rain, that He placed the rainbow in the sky to demonstrate the covenant that God had made with mankind. But even when God used the rain as a judgment against man, there was still a refuge for Noah, wasn't there? There is a place, whether it was the rain that was a blessing for the crops today, or whether we say there's a storm coming. Do you know the Lord still provides a refuge for His people? In the book of Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and a covert from the storm and from the rain. When it rains in your life, sometimes you say, oh, thank God for the rain. In other times you say, it's getting too heavy. And it's a storm. And maybe it feels like there's judgments and circumstances of life are coming. Do you know the Lord has promised to be a refuge for us in the rain? The Lord still wants to put an umbrella over your head, spiritually speaking. When the rains come, yes, thank the Lord that the water is coming to feed or to enable the plants to grow. But Lord, I need a refuge. The Lord has promised to be a refuge to His people. So whether it's the sun or whether it's the rain that comes from heaven, the Lord has promised to be a refuge to His people. Isn't that wonderful this morning? The Lord can, there are circumstances and things that God has placed in being in our world and in life, but He has promised to be with us in sunshine and in shadow, in through the tears of life and in the rain of life. He's promised to be there with us. Well, there is also a place that we find that rain was withheld as a penalty of sin. Maybe some of y'all, if you're thinking about it, you Bible scholars here. I hope all of you are Bible scholars this morning. But do you remember a prophet telling a king, it's not going to rain until I say so, until God gives the word? You remember who that was? All right, what was the king's name? It was Ahab. And it was Elijah that told Ahab. And it was because of their transgression. So because of their transgression, what in the time of Noah, which was rain that was used to destroy mankind, God told Ahab through the prophet, I'm going to withhold rain from heaven. I'm going to withhold the means of your sustenance. I'm going to withhold what you need for your fields because of your sin and your transgression, because you've turned away from me. You haven't confessed my name, and so there's going to be no rain. And when no rain comes, there's famine in the land. That's what's happening in some places in our world today. There's famine in the land. We are dependent upon rain this morning. We are living in a time of spiritual famine in our world today. There are many people that are meeting together in churches around the world today, and there is a drought of the Word of God. There is a famine. The rain of the Word of God is not coming to them, and they don't have the blessings of God. The Holy Spirit is not moving among them. Do you know, in a spiritual sense, when the spiritual rain doesn't come, we're going to dry up. And part of the purpose and of this message this morning is I want to encourage us to pray for rain from heaven. And I'm not as interested. I do pray for the literal. Lord, give and send rain on those that need it this morning, literally. But even more importantly, Lord, would you send spiritual rain from heaven? Where there are areas that are dry in our life, where there are areas that it seems like we're not bearing fruit, Lord, would you send rain from heaven? Would you send something in my life and anoint my life that I can have power of God, and I need to have that fruit of the Spirit in my life? But it's going to take rain from heaven, because the fruit of the Spirit does not grow without the grace of God working in our life. Brother Max, you talked about the grace of God. That was rain from heaven. It was the rain, the grace that poured down that enabled that to come out of your life. And we give God glory. So what do we do then when we're feeling a little dry? Have you ever felt a little dry spiritually? It's all right. Yes, I have. What do we do about it? Lord, I need a refreshing. I want some rain from heaven. I don't feel like I'm bearing the fruit like I ought to. And I feel like I'm in a desert place. But do you know what happens in the desert when rain comes? Almost overnight, it is transformed, because there are seeds in that desert. There are seeds in that sand. And when the rains come on the desert, you look and it's a new place. This is what happened in the San Joaquin Valley in California. Some of you been there? It produces some of the most fruit and nuts and things of anywhere in the world. And it is desert. But they brought water in, and it transformed the desert. Do you know that's what the Lord wants to do for people, even that are in sin this morning, and for those that are saved, that may be in a dry place? When the Spirit of the Lord moves and He sends rain from heaven, it will transform the desert place, because water brings life. Water brings life. Well, over in Psalm 72, in verse 6, The scripture says, and in this scripture here, again, what I'm just going to bear this out because we've been studying and talking about this. Contextually, it is talking about Solomon, but it has also often been used as a prophecy of Christ. It says in Psalm 72:6, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth." Now, doesn't Christ do that? Mown grass. Now, that gives me a picture of something very nice. Some of the commentators and theologians believe that that was talking about the cows that have grazed in the valley and they've eaten up all the grass and it looks like this isn't good for anything, but what happens after the rains come? That grass grows, doesn't it? What's been eaten over? Others believe that it was referencing when locusts come in. And the locusts would come in and devour everything that was green. And it would just be barren. And then the waters would come. The rain would come. And it would grow and it would flourish once again. Do you know that's, "He shall come down like rain"? That's what Jesus Christ does for us this morning. What the locusts have eaten in our lives, the heartache and the pain and the brokenness of sin, where it is dried and eaten up and we're left in its desert, when the presence of Jesus Christ comes in through His influence, it will transform. Do you know Christ can transform families? It can transform our world. Marriages that are in the process of breaking. Do you know what they need to pray for? They need to pray for rain from heaven. Because when we are under the influence of Christ, it brings life. It brings life in relationships between parents and children, between husbands and wives. It can transform congregations. It would transform our world today that we look and see sin abounding. Thank God it's raining. There's a gentle rain out there this morning. It's gentle rain. Thank the Lord for that rain. Do you know that's what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do in our life? That's what God wants to do. He will transform it. Well, who does it rain on? It rains on all people, doesn't it? If we were to go outside today, do you know it would rain and it wouldn't rain on one person? Say, well, it's not raining on you because you're not saved. Well, I'm saved, so it's raining over me. And then sometimes we have work to do. It's like, Lord, help the rain to hold off. There's stories of this. Do y'all want to hear one? I don't remember their name. But they wrote about, and I think, Stephen, you brought this up recently. There was a man of God that had a farm, and he was working. I don't know if it was hay or what it was. And he actually needed rain, didn't he? Or was it he didn't need rain?
And Nora, not the son, they were harvesting the hay.
Okay, it was the hay harvest. And it and they prayed, and it rained all around their farm, but it didn't rain on their farm. There's another story that a farmer needed rain. He loved the Lord, and he said, Lord, we need rain, and it rained on his farm and nobody else's farm around him. Now, that happens sometimes because God hears the prayers of His people. But the Scripture in Matthew 5:45 says that you may be the children of the Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His Son to rise on whom? On the evil and on the good. And He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Do you know it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance? The sun shines on the evil, on those that are evil and those that are good. And the Lord sends the rain on those because He wants His influence to be on them. If we would just open up our heart. He'll send the rain and He'll send the sun according to His word and His timing. In Acts 14, the writer of Acts, he mentions this very specifically in talking about the Gentiles. So the promise of rain was to the Jews. But this is what the writer said in verse 16 of 14 of Acts. Who in times past He suffered all nations to walk in their ways, nevertheless He left not Himself without witness. In other words, here were the Jews sometimes serving God, and here were the Gentiles that weren't serving God. They were not following the commands of God. They weren't under the Mosaic law. And yet, God still gave them a witness. He didn't leave them without a witness. It says, in that He did good and He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons filling our hearts with food and gladness. That was talking about the Gentiles. They weren't following God, but it said God gave them a witness of His creation, of His goodness, and He sent the rain on their crops. He sent the rain on their fields. I want you to know there's still a God. You know the Lord is still doing that spiritually today. There are some people that say the Spirit of the Lord is lifting up off the face of the earth. When people reject God, He backs away. But do you realize it is the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit that is going to work in people's hearts and lives until God says it's enough and we go to the judgment? The Lord is still working with His influence and grace in time of need. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness? And they were hungry. And it said that God sent a rain. It was a rain of a little different nature, though. Do you remember what God sent and had rain down from heaven on the children of Israel in the wilderness? It was manna. He said, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Do you know that the Lord's still doing that for us today? When we have needs and we say, Lord, I'm really struggling, the Lord will rain down from heaven that which we need to enable us to get through the difficulties of our time. The Lord will do that for us this morning, and I'm so thankful for that. So, let's pray for rain this morning. Let's pray for spiritual rain. In the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12, he said, and this is, you probably heard this preached a lot, but sometimes the last portion may not be focused on as much. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to do what? It is time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. But then it goes on to say, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Don't stop praying. We need to pray this morning in our lives. And it's my prayer for my loved ones that I carry burdens for. It's, Lord, would You send down Your rain of righteousness on their life? Would You rain righteousness upon them? Lord, would you feed that? And if there are seeds in their heart, Lord, would You send that which is needed that they can start bearing fruit and that they can be saved and that they can draw closer to You? And that's exactly what He said. He said, seek the Lord till He come, until He rain righteousness down upon you. Zechariah, the prophet, told us the same thing. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, he said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. You want to be blessed? Let's start praying for rain. You want to grow spiritually? Let's start asking the Lord to open up heaven and send some spiritual rain down upon us. There is an answer to that prayer. We have two more verses as we close this morning. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. God said, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's a promise of God if you're thirsty. And floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isn't that what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were gathered together seeking God. They were in one accord seeking God, and the Lord opened up the windows of heaven and He rained down His Spirit from heaven and moved across them and influenced them and empowered them and led them. Do we want that this morning? Lord, send the rain. Lord, send the rain of Your Spirit. Lord, we open up our hearts. Have you ever been gone outside when it was raining hard and opened up your mouth? I know I look a little funny doing that. I'll stop, but you get the picture. Have you ever gone outside and just opened up your mouth to let it rain inside and try to catch some of that water? Do you know the Lord wants us to be like that with the spiritual rain? It's, Lord, I'm thirsty, so Lord, send the rain. Lord, send the anointing of Your Spirit in my life. Lord, send a greater anointing among us as a people. I want to see greater power. I want to see greater anointing, but it's going to start in my individual life. So Lord, rain down from heaven, and I want to go out there. I'm just going to open up my mouth, and I just want to get that in me. What was dry, I want to begin to grow. I want to be satiated with the power and the grace of God. He said He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And then in closing, we'll close with the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 3. He said, then shall we know. You want to know? He said, if, it's conditional, Then will we know? Some people say, well, I just don't know. How many people have you heard talking about that? I just don't understand. I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't think we have to do that. I don't know why. Okay, here's an answer. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. You want to understand this morning? We're not going to know it all at once. But where I have questions, there's a way to find the answer, and that's by wanting to have a desire to follow on to know the Lord, and His going forth is prepared as the morning, and this is how the Lord's going to come. And He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former. That's talking about the spring rains and the fall rains. As the latter and former rain unto the earth. As we love God and as we grow in Him and grow in the knowledge, the promise was that Christ would come down into our lives as the rain that brings life and refreshment, and it causes things to grow that were one time dead. So Lord, send the rain. Send the rain from heaven that we could prosper. And for your unsaved loved ones that you're carrying burdens for this morning, we have another tool. We have something else that we can pray for them. Lord, send the rain of your righteousness on their life. Send the rain that you would give them opportunity to grow, that what was a desert, that life could come from it. Lord, send the rain. Amen.